This is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. here at WVNJ, 1160 a.m., The Voice. The show is reports about disasters, talks about disasters, but also talks about all the preparedness you can do. Whoa, look at that. Phone's ringing. We got people calling in before I even start the show. We talk about mitigation and preparing for disasters. And as if you've been a listener for a while, you've known that disasters, we've covered a lot of types of disasters, not just property alone, but the psychological part of 9/11, part of it. Also with something that was dear to me because I have young children. We had a retired lieutenant from the Bergen County Prosecutor's Office, Frank Salento, talk about, you know, some of the things we can do to prepare for a future disaster, or God forbid a child goes missing. So, you know, when you go to the website drhradio.net, there's just a plethora of subject matter that I kind of encapsulate into a disaster. And today's show is no different. I have a guest that came into town. We're going to be calling him internationally. His name's not internationally, but we're actually placing the phone call internationally. But he's a fireman in Oslo, Norway. My brother actually met him when my brother was volunteering over in New York City for the 2011 World Fire and Police Games, which unfortunately didn't get the recognition it did because Irene came to town unexpectedly. Not unexpectedly, we knew she was coming, but the magnitude of her anger was beyond what we thought it was going to be. But we didn't have the win, so that was a good thing. We're still having some kind of hangover effects with that now, like from last week's show with Bruce Wolf from Garden State Environmental. And what I'm still addressing now on a daily basis is the hangover or the after effects of having water damage and partial wind damage, but more water damage and flooding is if you're not addressing those problems. And now it's a month. It's a month later, and a month and change later, I should say. And you know, this growth. I'm visiting homes now with microbial growth, and it's what we talk about with about being preparedness, because I talk about, you know, you can't wait for the government, you can't wait for all first responders to be at your house because you pick the phone up and you dial 911 when it comes to property and things like that. You know, God forbid it's an incident of some form of violence. You know, obviously our first responders, the boys in blue, will show up immediately. But the show, we advocate about, you know, being prepared and being self-reliant for at least 3 days, and having provisions for that having a backup generator too to couple with the, you know, the food and the water and things like that. So I'm volleying back and forth over this net here is that people have sat on their water damage in their homes, and you develop odor and you develop all types of growth that you can't see initially, but give it a while, especially in some of these basements that are finished, but they don't have very good air movement or airflow, and you start having it's a perfect recipe for growth. So that's what I'm seeing now. I'm still very busy, as some other companies are too. I know they're busy too. You know, none of us have stopped really running. Hopefully everybody's doing the right thing by not scaring people about with the growth of different types of mold and things like that. I mean, they can be addressed. Depends on from young children to the elderly. And Bruce talked about it last week. Like I said, Bruce Wolf was a guest from last week, and we talked about he's a hygienist. We talked about the mold growth and what people can do to help themselves, but also, you know, do they want definitive answers, you need to bring in a professional. And that's what he is. And, you know, I've worked with Bruce for numerous years now. I advocate him. He's a realist. He doesn't come in and says, you know, shut down the house and, you know, take the kids and put them in a plastic bubble or anything like that. He's got a good demeanor. He's a fine representative of the partial owner of that business. And he's good. He's been an advocate of my company, and he helps me out when I need answers. So now, again, I'm coming into this now. What I've been busy about with, you know, getting rid of your stuff, going back to first responders, going back to having no power and water. You just can't wait. You got to be prepared for that. You know, just get rid of it. You know what? I'll tell you one thing: getting rid of carpet and some moldings and some sheetrock, it's a lot cheaper than being sick and or possibly becoming sick. So it's only material things. I say it all the time. You know, it's life and safety is a lot more important than just stuff. So that was, you know, I didn't really hit it. At the end of the show last week, I thought about, you know, I talked with Jeff Turner, who was on the show. We were talking about business continuity, and a lot of the businesses don't realize how to go out and grab funds. And I said, God, you know, I forgot to really summarize, you know, Bruce and the information he had. So with that, you can, if you haven't already, sign up for the podcast, you know, drhradio.net, and put in there, you know, you want to put in your email address so you can sign up for the podcast, or you can listen to the shows. You just want to listen to one show, you want to listen to the shows every week, you know, at your leisure, you know, be my pleasure for you to do that. But without a doubt, you know, I like to get more listeners. So that's the reason we're on the air. And also just to get the word out. And I just had a brief conversation with somebody else about, you know, getting the word out from SteriPen. I'm hoping to have these people on in about 2 or 3 weeks. They're a water filtration company. And, you know, what do we always talk about? It's like, how many people really actually boil water? You know, over here in Jersey, it's United Water. Up on the island, you have different utilities are telling you what to do with the water. I mean, do people really boil water? They only go out and get jugs of water. But, you know, here's another way of sanitizing water with this product. And it's about preparedness, and it's a pretty cool product, and I wanted to share it with you. So they'll be on in a couple of weeks. Next week's guest, very excited about her, Sue Kerr. She is the president of the ACP International of the United States, all 43 branches or chapters, I should say. And if you've heard in the past, and if not, you can take a look at the website. ACP has been a big booster for the show because it's taken. I know a lot about the personal side of people being displaced and helping them out. You know, getting their lives back in order after they have these horrific incidences of fires and floods and trees and car impacts and stuff like that. And remember, everyone is not the same. Some people have fires and they say, you know what, no one got hurt, and someone can have. You know, someone can have a little tree through the front window and, you know, their life is devastated. That's their prerogative, and I don't pass judgment on them whatsoever. I think, you know, everyone's got, you know, I don't walk in their shoes. I don't know what they've experienced. So, you know, that's one of the things you should take into account when having some of these restoration companies, emergency service business companies, you know, are they looking out for your well-being, or are they just addressing a job and not getting the psychological end of it? So that's kind of key. I mean, you need to be listened to, and, you know, your concerns. So, but Sue, so that's the personal side. So, but the business side is, like I said, ACP is very a big proponent of this show about getting the word out for businesses, because let me tell you, some businesses pay taxes. They pay for fire trucks, they pay for police cars, and we pay taxes and snow removal and salt and things of that nature. So businesses inside our towns, whether it's out on the island, Ronkonkoma, with my boys from Service Master, Vinny and Kevin, Service Master by PDS, and also with Metro, Service Master of Metro out here in Haledon, Al and Mike Kaswani, they're been in business for quite a while. They've been helpful with me in starting my franchise over here in Bergen County and also New York City. I mean, I've been doing it for quite a while, so I just joined the team, and it's been a good fit so far. But the business continuity end of it, there's a lot of things that keeping guys in business, and, you know, it's reflective of insurance, you know. So we can talk about it. We're going to talk about it with Sue next week at length. I think it's going to be an exciting program. But now we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to go to a commercial break. I'm going to bring up my next guest, and it's going to be interesting. But you got to listen hard. Be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Welcome back, Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2 at here at WVNJ 1160 AM, The Voice. I'm real excited for my next guest because I spoke to him a couple minutes ago. On the phone is Newt Henning Haug. Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah.
Ah, good man. Newt is calling from just outside of Oslo in Norway. Newt, and the reason I'm having a person from Norway, Newt was just in town for the World Fire and Police Games. The biannual, what's it, every couple of years, I think it is. And Newt was competing with, 90 other countries and 15,000 other participants. And they came in for the unfortunate anniversary of 9/11. And I wanted to get over there, but we got busy with our hurricane here. Newt, you know, you came into town, you're a first responder, you're a fireman in Oslo, or just outside of the city of Oslo. And I thought it was interesting when my brother mentioned you. You know, what is the international take? How do you guys address, you know, I've interviewed first responders on my program and OEM guys, which are Office of Emergency Management directors and things like that. I was trying to get the feel of how does our international brethren, how do you guys conduct your business? Is it different from ours? And if it is, what are those differences?
Well, it was nice in New York meeting all the colleagues from around the world. I think we as firefighters do our job pretty much the same. It's we're on the job and ready for whatever. And
right.
Yeah, it was nice to see each other and get understanding from each other.
Right. I want to talk about preparedness in a little bit, but tell me your spin on New York City. I mean, It's 9/11 and an international feel when you came to town. You knew there was some heightened emotions going with that because of your fellow FDNY guys with 343 heroes losing their lives. Did you guys talk about those types of things at all?
Yeah, I remember the day as it was yesterday when I saw the terror in New York that September day. We were really looking forward to coming to New York and under an event like that, competing together, seeing the guys and hear from them, because we just experienced terror here in Oslo a couple of months ago, so that was very near to us, so we could relate in our own way.
Right. Now, when you and I spoke before, you weren't too far from, I guess that downtown area is predominantly dominated by government buildings, and your apartment wasn't too far where you can actually see the smoke, and then obviously you get the call to go in. It's pretty much the same thing for, you know, our guys here on 9/11. So there's a lot of common bond there. So but are the services pretty much the same in how you address those types of things?
Yeah, I think we have it's something we train for every kind of situation, and also bombs and shootings. We have trained for that, and you know, you can never be too well prepared. But I think we did the job that we were expected to do. Talked to the guys. I was not in the government building myself, but I heard the bang from my living room, and I went to the roof and saw the building in smoke, and went to work and manned up the fire stations. The guys did the job immediately after. Right. Medical center.
So with that, you know, how was your feeling when you went downtown? Did you walk by? Did you take a cab? Did you you went down to Ground Zero? How were your feelings about that?
Yeah, first we arrived on Friday, and that was the day before the Hurricane Irene came to town.
Right.
And so that was really a special thing to see everyone shutting down the city, closing it up. We expected it to be a busy city, and the Times Square is always a lot of people, and people never sleep there. So, but that was bizarre, just to come right from Norway and seeing people shutting down for a possible disaster with a hurricane.
Right.
Taking the necessary precautions.
Right. Now, natural disaster wise, what do you experience up by you guys?
Excuse me, say that one with that.
What are the natural disasters, you know, for us? We have the hurricanes every once in a while that come up this far. We have hurricane season starting in, I believe, late May, early June, going all the way to mid-September. That hits the southern part of the states. Natural disasters that affect the Norway area or that part of Europe, what are the things that come by on a yearly basis for you guys to be prepared for?
We can experience bad weather here in Norway too. It's cold, and
right.
And we got mountains, difficult areas to evacuate people when the bad weather sets in. And nowadays the weather seems to take a turn for more extreme weather. So we prepare for that here ourselves as well.
Yeah. I mean, the weather in the last, I'd say, 10 years has been a lot different. You know, we here at the show, we don't really talk about too much political stuff, but the science is there that the weather is getting increasingly more vicious, if you will, and preparedness is more of the day's discussion, if you will. And now, you and I spoke before, September is your countrywide National Preparedness Month also. And you were talking about your open house. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we every September, all over Norway, we open up the firehouses for people to come to see what we do and bring awareness to the themes related to fire and emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a big hit. People bring their whole families, the kids come, and we get them to show them demos of what we do, and yeah, that's fun when thousands come to see how we live and work on the job.
Now, how long you been on the job?
Sorry?
How long you been on in the fire department?
Since 2006. 2006. I've been working as a full-time fireman.
We're gonna go to a commercial break. Then we got to re-up the phone call with Newt, and we got a couple more questions, and then we'll let him get back to work because he's on the job right now. He's in the firehouse. So let's go to commercial break. Newt, we'll call you right back. All right, stay with us.
Disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. CPP is the answer. CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, their seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition. Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next? Fire, smoke, water, or mold? CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, they've got answers. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Kate Valentine's UFO show. Watching strange visitors that come and go. The UFO show at Kate Valentine. We're gonna travel through space and rocket through time. Exploring what is possible, examining what
are we really out here all alone? Find out on the UFO show with Kate Valentine, Friday afternoons at 1 on WVNJ.
Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour. I'm your host, Chris Plunkett. Every Tuesday between 1 and 2, WVNJ, 1160 AM. Newt, we still have you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Newt, thinking about the way cities are, and I know, from the pictures of firefighting in Europe and up in Scandinavians, your countries have been around longer than ours, and I know you have big cities, but you also have, your neighborhoods are more condensed. Am I interpreting that properly? I mean, so is firefighting and getting around one of the things, you know, that is a challenge, or it's just been part of for so long? I'm just talking. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, well, compared to New York, it's very different. We're a smaller country and not as dense populated, so we have more room for our trucks and stuff. But we get the difficulties with the cold weather, the icy roads,
mm-hmm.
And especially in the wintertime, that brings a lot of extra problems for us. With the minus degrees, our hoses with water can freeze up, and we can experience a lot of trouble with the wintertime.
Now, I have a question from somebody from the web. It's his name's Rick, and his question to you, Newt, is: are the firehouses in Norway, most of them he says volunteers, but I know you're a full-time volunteer, a full-time fireman. How many firehouses are paid, and how many are volunteers?
Well, in the bigger cities, we have full-paid firefighters, but you don't have to travel far from the big cities to the smaller places where people volunteer, and that's I gotta give respect to those guys that stay on the job, stay educated, and have the interest for it. Very little amount of money they bring in a lot of hours for the job, and do a really good job around the country. That's outside the biggest cities. Yeah.
He's got a second part of his question is, what are the most common types of fires in Norway or in your neck of the woods in Oslo area?
I would say house fires, where the electric is always a big problem for us. But people do not take enough care in wiring up the electrics, and starts a lot of fires in Norway.
Yeah, that's a common theme over here too. Preparedness is difficult when it comes to electric. You know, I'm sure you agree, because you really can't see through the walls. You can only get an inspection, but you really can't foresee what's happening behind those walls unless you rip them open. I have another question from Cindy, and her question to you, Newt, was, what were you most impressed with the New York City firefighters?
Oh, that's a big thing. The moral and the professionality that they have when they go into work. We had a small fire on the backside of the hotel we stayed in, and it was in a very short time, 36 fire trucks there, lots of people, and but still looked well organized. Even though the tourists were all over their cars and their equipment, they stayed calm and did the job. I think they have a really good moral. Shows the 9/11. They went all in, and we just got to be thankful that we have guys like this that in a big city. York.
Yeah, and as well as you know, as Oslo, and you experienced the attacks on your city and your country and your fellow countrymen. one of the things, you know, ever since 9/11, the guys, you know, and I'm only speaking from a citizen, if you will. You know, there's a lot of people visit the firehouses, taking pictures and thanking. That's got to be it's a similar. Tell me, is it a similar situation in your country and in your city? I mean, people know that, you know, what you guys really do. Before, it was always behind the scenes, and people never, you know, you guys didn't get the due credit. Do you see it more often now?
I think as firefighters, we are lucky to the citizens appreciate what we do. But after incidents like that, it really shows off more. People coming up, giving roses, and paying their respects and gratitude for the work that we do. We're very humbled by that, and it really shows the moral in everyone. After something like this, we come together around what's happened, and each other up again. That's important.
Have commanders in your country or your city, do they talk with other departments, say our FDNY here in New York area or LA Fire Department? Have they conversed, or they have they maybe in England or London for a large city? Do they cross chatter with communication and try to learn from each other? Do you do that at your department also?
Well, not in a big scale, but some of the guys have been over in other countries. Mm-hmm. More by themselves to try to pick up experience and tell what we do and learn from each other, but not in a big scale. We had some firefighters from New York come to Oslo a couple of years ago, and they really returned the favor when we came back this time, showed us around, but the leaders could learn more from each other. I don't know in what way how they bring it all together with experience and learning from each other.
Right, all right. A note, I know you're on the job right now. I appreciate you. I think it's 25 to 8 out in your time. Again, I'm glad my brother met you at the games. I understand you did pretty well at, what was it, the all-day events? How many events in that day?
8 events in a row. That was a tough day. But it was fun competing.
That's cool.
Say hello to your brother from me.
I definitely do that. Newt, thanks a lot. And you know what? Anything that comes out of, you want to say, maybe I should tell the Disaster Recovery Hour in the New York City area, just go ahead and you have my email. Just email me something. If you say, Europe goes through a lot of, last year or 2 years ago, you had that massive flooding in Europe. And so if those things that you want to make sure the people in our area know about, if they can donate and to organizations and help out, go ahead, reach out to me, and be more than happy to get it on the airways. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thank you the same.
But good luck and be safe.
Thank
you. Take care. And international phone call, that was very cool. I'm glad my brother had met him. My brother volunteered at the games, and unfortunately I had signed up, but I'm not fortunate. I did sign up. I was going to do that, but Irene came to town, and I had to go pay my bills, if you will, and wasn't able to get over to the city and assist in the games, whatever it may be. I think I was just going to, hand out flyers and, directions and which way to go and so on and so forth. So, but that was cool. He was, my brother said, the guy's a pumped up individual, enjoys his job, and like I said, reciprocated his information over to some other guys. The phone call we had before he came on the air was a little closer, if you will. Opposed to being on the air, sometimes it can get a little not convoluted as much as a little confusing. But with that said, there is a lengthy question from Nancy. I think Nancy's calling out of Florida, and her question is: 911 has events every. 911 has events every year to remind us of the devastation that took place on that memorable day, and many things are put into place in hopes that this tragic event can be prevented in the future. What can be done to keep the level of awareness up regarding hurricanes in other states? I mean, so now we went from 9/11, which is awareness. Okay, now we're over to the natural disaster of hurricanes, such as in Florida. All states need to be prepared, which I agree, and I'll expand on that in a second. This is where she lives in Florida, and this is where I live, and I think that maybe forgetting the devastation that we had a number of years ago, and I fear this leads to complacent attitudes. I agree with that. Any ideas on how we can expand your efforts to the national level? Any ideas how we can expand my efforts to the national level? Well, there's a good question, Nancy. We We've been talking with some people about that. We're trying to get the word out nationally. Whether it's we'll talk about it another day. But we're in the process of that. Bill's been talking with people and ACP and such like that, and some other folks on a government level have taken interest in getting the word out, using the show as a springboard for getting information out. And and that's, you know, dumb luck for me. It's been fantastic. I don't you know, grant you, is there advertising? There's advertising, but I do get a lot of satisfaction from helping people during troubled times. I think it's innately in me to do that. Not a codependent guy, but whatever. But I think, preparedness, it has to be constantly pounded. Like I said in the old days about studying for classes. Grant you, I wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm not saying that. But, you know, I'm able to now with my kids talk about and be repetitive about being prepared on a school level, but I talk about, on a preparedness, where would you go in a fire? I mean, we're shooting hoops and we're throwing the football. Like this morning, we're throwing the football before the bus. I'm always drilling them on something besides drilling them with the football and drilling my daughter with the football. So it's I think it's a never-ending battle. And I think our first responders, you know, they have their open houses or, you know, we're going to, you know, the police departments, the fire departments, even the DPW guys, you know, they have their open houses in the municipalities, not so much on large scale of the cities. And I could be wrong. If I am, somebody is out there listening, you know, correct me on that. These guys, these first responders, they get frustrated. They'd like to see a little more participation, I think. I was watching 60 Minutes this past week, and we had, Commissioner Kelly from the NYPD, and I had thought about this. I'm not to say that I'm a brainchild about something, but having the floor plan of every building or in the downtown area, you know what? I've been advocating that with people here when I see their water damages or their fires in their house, and I say, you know what? You know, do you ever talk to your fire department? You know, it's the first time you had had any contact with them. I'd say, you know, we should go meet them. The kids would like to climb all over the trucks, and the guys would like it also. You know, so it's a never ending battle. Like I said, it's a never ending battle, and I do a lot of preaching when I go to my jobs about what they could do to again, we use the word mitigation in the insurance world. There's a lot of smart guys out there on the insurance end, and also on the property management side, and then the state and municipals and the federal guys, the OEM guys. I had a very good conversation with hopefully a future guest a couple of weeks ago down in Trenton about the health issues and being prepared for the elderly or the disabled, and also, you know, when facilities go down, how are people supposed to get for simple dialysis? You know, those types of things need to be addressed, and we're going to address those issues. And that's what this, again, that's what, you know, that's what we talk about on the show. We talk about preparedness, talk about disasters, and what we can learn from them. Let's pay a couple bills. It's a little before 20 of, and we'll be right back.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach CPP Emergency Services and Restoration anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's www.cppems.com, cppems.com. CPP Emergency Services and Restoration, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
At least one in four businesses affected by a disaster never reopen. Let me repeat, at least one in four businesses affected by a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, never reopen. Yet far too many business owners put off their company's disaster.
You have five new messages.
Can you sign it for me, please?
Don't forget those copies for the presentation.
Disaster plan because they let too many day-to-day things get in the way.
Is that 3 p.m. going to be all right with your schedule?
Hey, don't forget that Stan proposes due.
Be in the conference room in 5 minutes, please.
To save your messages, press 1.
Received dispatch, truck 47 en route to 614 North Front Street.
Received. Be advised, truck 47, heavy fire showing from the ninth floor. Second alarm being dispatched at this time.
Disasters are unpredictable, but when you have a plan in place, you can better adapt, recover, and stay in control. So don't wait. Visit ready.gov to make your company's disaster plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Disaster Recovery Hour. Glad you could join me today. If you want to listen to this podcast, go to drhradio.net. This show, or any other show. That would be drhradio.net. drhradio.net. And also, you can do drhradio.net and put out a comment. You want to ask me a question about today's show, last week's show, last month's show, you got a crystal ball next month's show, whichever. It is about, we talk about the property, we talk about preparedness, and I got a few ideas in my head, so if you want to shoot out some questions to me, feel free, drhradio.net, drhradio.net. Before I went to the commercial, I was talking about, drilling my kids. There's some information I got from somebody off of FEMA had sent me some information regarding getting your children involved in a family plan. It's statistically proven that the kids are responsive instead of telling them that they are part and telling them to do X, Y, and Z, that they incorporate them, okay? Put some responsibility on them. Obviously, nothing major, but it doesn't really give you what they should be doing as much as what kids are individuals. So, what are they good at, and that they could be assistance in getting together with might be the kits. It might be they know how much storage water you have, or your exit routes, or do you know where to meet in the yard or in the neighbor's yard in case there's a fire, and so on and so forth. So that's FEMA's always punching out information like that, and I like to try to get it out as best as I can, as often as I can. While we're on the topic of FEMA, I touched on it last week. Typical bipartisan. It's not a political show, but I will talk about it because it's affecting our region drastically. With the money is released and supposed to be coming and rolling in, but here's the thing about FEMA. I shouldn't say about FEMA, about the amount of disasters that we've had, natural disasters that we have had over the course of, you know, 6 or 7 years, with the 4 hurricanes in Florida. Then the next year you have Katrina. Now this year, which is the most disasters in the history of recording disasters, we had that little stat last week from Obama, having 48 states he claimed to be national disaster areas, most in history, dollar wise the most in history, again in the billions. So you had the 4 hurricanes, started with the 4, not started, but pretty much with the 4 hurricanes, then it was Katrina, Galveston, I think the next year, parts of Texas, I should say. And every year it's been something, and with the wildfires this year, we have the tornadoes, we've had Irene. So it's been FEMA is stretched thin, and it's not a secret out there that they're stretched thin. However, what happens is when there's allocated dollars, and this is again, I'm telling you the information that is fed to me regarding this. If you need to prove me wrong, by all means, you can call in and say, Chris, you're wrong. But my understanding is, and it makes perfect sense, is that let's just use round numbers for, let's use $100. FEMA sets aside $100 for the Florida hurricanes. Okay, now that money is allocated for those hurricanes. Now, next year Katrina happens. What happens is the money that's sitting in wait, if you will, to assist in those people and those businesses and those regions down in Florida, now some of that money gets diverted over the Katrina. Okay, now more money gets pumped into Katrina pool. And what happens from there is, okay, we have a disaster the following year. So you take a little money out of there, and what happens with Congress is, my understanding is, you know, they want to talk about, okay, we're going to allocate dollars to another region, but however they make, they're making some of these kind of deals or riders or the amendments to bills that they can get X amount of dollars if they do this over here. So it's a real disservice to us as the citizens. And again, I'm not going to be a political guy here. It's not what we're about, but this is a direct effect on property and business. Business property. These people are looking to be helped out. You do pay your taxes, and there is money out there. However, it's getting thinner and thinner. And where do we? What does that tell? What is that? What am I really saying here? I'm saying, like I've been saying for a while, and this is from experts in the field, whether from the state police of New Jersey, directors of OEMs out in the island, hoping to have an assistant deputy in the next couple of weeks, Ira Tottenbaum from New York City OEM. It's something that it's out there. It's a proven fact. Bottom line, it's a proven fact. I mean, you can only take and stretch the dollar so far. So that's why the preparedness. That's why our government and local officials are always saying, you know, make a plan, get a kit. You know, where are you going to meet in case something happens? Do you have your medications? Do you have emergency service, emergency food, and so on and so forth? So it's a difficult dynamic that we're experiencing with all these natural disasters. And on top of it, you know, we have the war going on, so we're spending a lot of money there, and you know, losing young people's lives. It's part of this whole big picture here, you know. So the show is today. It's got a little more on the personal side, but let's shoot over to a web question from Dave. Here in New Jersey, we seem to have several areas that are prone to flooding with nearly every significant rainfall we get. I agree on that. The house flood gets repaired, flood again and again. What can you do to end this cycle, and why do we let people build and live in known flood areas? You know what? I agree. I think the stat here in Bergen County is like 4% open space or something. Everything else is more or less developed. It's my opinion that some of these areas shouldn't be developed. I understand the tax base. I mean, we're in. And again, this is what I see on a daily basis, where, you know, I know a couple of years ago in my other house, I had a gravel driveway. I never had water in my house. I paved it. I got water in my house. So that's a proven fact. So being able to develop in a flooded area. You know what? Who's the administration? Who's they're going to allow to develop in there? That's something that you know, I think as a citizen, your municipality or Bergen County or Sussex or Passaic County out on the island, Westchester, New York's different. You know, it's kind of a state of its own, if you will, because it's a big government entity. So and it's been developed for so long, but there's experience. I'm on a dozen homes right now who are on their third flood I've seen in the last 18 months, and I've known them. I've broken bread with them. I've become part of the family. Unfortunately, you know, like I say, you don't want to meet me professionally. You want to meet me socially. So I don't get it, Dave. Especially here in our areas where we had the Ramapo and the Passaic and floods into the Hackensack, it's kind of crazy. But something has to give, but what's giving right now is the property. So and insurance rates are going up from it. So, any other questions? Please feel free to jump in board. And I just wanted to bring up another thing about technology. Technology is for iPhones, and I'm gonna give iTunes.com is what Bill told me to tell people, and or the App Store, you know, Google that. Apple.com. Okay, that's what it is. There's these disaster preparedness apps out there, and there's ones for fire, there's ones for flood, it's hurricane, earthquakes, snowstorms, tornadoes, blackouts, and also travel. So it's a pretty cool thing. Bill's helped me out. And is also I think is very cool is the Red Cross app for open shelters and where they are. So and that's the entire country. You know, it tells you, you know, your region obviously, but that's a pretty cool thing. And so using your iPhone, I don't think it gets on the BlackBerry, and if it does, it's too slow anyway because I don't like it. But I do have a question from Stan. It says, how has your experience been with insurance companies with Irene? You know, they got these riders on these sump pumps, Stan, and it could be either $2,500, and I say caps, they're capped out numbers, $2,500, $5,000, or $10,000, depending on the insurance carrier that's writing your policy. So what that encompasses, and there's a lot of you know, some insurance guys could call and tell me that there's some other things a part of it. But you know, when you talk about emergency services on an average basement that's say 15 by 20 and it's a finished basement, you're gonna ripping out sheetrock, insulation, molding, depending on the floor, which is most of the time carpeting, You know what? That's $10,000 to $15,000 right by itself. You know, just ripping the stuff out and replacing it. Now, before you even get to that part, you still have the you know, guys like myself who come in and do all that ripping out and do the proper drying and the antimicrobials and to try to prevent growth. You're in for whatever it could be, you know, depending on the size. And the insurance carrier, you know, they dictate. We all do these, what we call pricing by square foot and linear foot. It doesn't go with the old X amount of guys per X amount of hours. So it gets a little gray on how to predict pricing along those lines. But you know, with the carriers are this is where it goes back to reviewing your policy every single year and what you can do, because it's not very expensive to up and ante your coverage. It's just not. And if you're not out of whack, they're not going to come out and look at your house, so, or your place of business. I advocate always looking at your policy and see what you're covered for. I just got my renewal the other day and I saw something that I didn't like in there, so I called my carrier and I had it modified. And I'm in the business, so you know, that's Stan. I tell you, that's, you know, we use this with the show about, you know, I'm always advocating, you know, take a look at your policy, see what you're covered for. You know, you're driving down the road, you have insurance on your car, you know, it's pretty cut and dry. But your home is different. You have trees, you have a detached garage, you have a deck that you never told your insurance carrier that you built, even a pool. I've gone and done pool damage that people have never informed their insurance carrier that they had a pool. You know what? It wasn't covered. Stan, if I'm answering your question, How was the insurance companies? They've been good, but there's already been, it's already set in place. You know, how do you live within those parameters, those pricing parameters, and those scope parameters? So, it's not all about dollars and cents, especially in this time of Irene. There's been some pro bono work. I'm not in the business of giving it away, but a consultation or advice on how to help themselves before they bring me in. Because, like I said last week on the last week's show, have a professional company draw your space out, business or personal or your home. Have a professional. You can do your demo if you're willing, able. You got some neighbors who can help you out. You can do that kind of stuff. Throw out some couches, some carpeting, some wet insulation, things like that. But drying out your space, you can't do yourself. So, and you can't antimicrobial or look for small growth possibilities, little havens inside closet areas that are dark and warm and moist, where those things love to grow. So you can help yourselves out there by doing that. But contact your local, not your local, but contact a professional like myself. And just talk. There are other companies out there. I have no problem with that. There's plenty of work, and most importantly, anything is to get you where your house is habitable and you're not going to worry about growth and putting things back together. But there's most of the people are taking money out of their pocket because of flood insurance covers up to X amount of dollars. There's a structure issue to it, but there's also the mechanical part of it where they take care of your hot water heater, your boiler, the unfinished sheetrock, and some drying out and some slight mitigation. Flood will pick up that. Homeowner's policy, how does that work with flood? It depends on your carrier. So I really can't, there's not a boilerplate for that. It's written all differently. But in the next couple of weeks, the carriers and the brokers have been very busy. But I would like to get one of the experts on here to talk about that because it's still fresh in people's minds. Again, I'd like to thank those questions. I waited from Nancy and Cindy and Dave and Stan and some others that I was able to address. And also Newt. Newt's still at the firehouse. He's got us on live feed on the computer. And that's about it. Listen, sign up for the podcast, drhradio.net, drhradio.net, and punch in your email, and that's it. So let's sign off. Like I said before, we still have war going on. We still have people in harm's way. Who do we got to talk to? Forget the money. It's the lives that are being lost. So it's been another good show, but God bless, and send the war, and take care. See you next week.